Periodically, someone will come up to me and ask me to address a certain topic in one of my sermons, and that's the case this morning, and that's the motivation behind the lesson. I had someone ask me to speak on pride and some of the dangers of pride. Pride is an interesting word because we use that word, I think, a lot. We may talk about the fact that we are, in some particular situation, proud of our children or proud of some accomplishment that may have taken place in our lives, and I think that's a proper use of that word. I don't think that's what the Bible is addressing when it warns us about the dangers of pride. But yet, as we look into God's Word, I think we can see exactly what God is talking about when He warns us that we need to be very careful not to become people who are proud. And as we begin this morning in Proverbs chapter 16, look with me, if you would, at verse 18. As the writer of Proverbs warns us, he says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." There is no question that as we consider ourselves, there are situations in which we can find ourselves exhibiting pride that we should not have within our hearts. And I would suggest to you very frankly this morning that I think in some cases because of our background, because of the things that have happened to us over the course of time or the heritage that we have as a result of the mother or father or grandparents or whoever we may have, that there is a serious danger for many of us who are sitting right here to be people who can be overcome by pride. There's a story that's found in the New Testament that I want to use as a text for our lesson this morning. That's found in Luke chapter 7. And in Luke chapter 7, we see a scene where Jesus is in the house of a Pharisee. And as he's sitting there with his Pharisee, a woman, a sinful woman, comes in and comes before Jesus and humbles herself at his feet. And what I want to do this morning is I want to take this passage from Luke chapter 7. It begins in verse 36 and goes down through verse 50. I want to take this passage and I want to look at this Pharisee. Because I think as we see the Pharisee, we see the areas in which God is addressing us and saying, these are the dangers of pride. Here are the problems. Here are the pitfalls that can come to a person who has that haughty spirit that we are warned not to have. And I challenge you this morning to think along with me as we consider this passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 7, begin reading with me if you would in verse 36. It says, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she's a sinner.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' So he said, 'Teacher, say it.'" And here's what Jesus tells him. Verse 41. "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." What I want to do this morning for the next few minutes is I want to take three attitudes that I think we see in Simon as he is there sitting with Jesus at his table, and this woman comes in weeping at the feet of Jesus and wiping her feet with her hair, anointing his feet with fragrant oil, and I think we see two total opposites in attitude as we see these two people, the Pharisee and the sinful woman. The problem that came to Simon was his pride. The reason he thought the things that he was thinking is because he was proud. And I hope that as we go through this material this morning that you will see that as well. as we see the dangers of pride as exhibited by Simon the Pharisee. The first thing I want you to think about is, as a result of his pride, Simon was one, this Pharisee was one, who would look down on others. Did you see that? Here comes this woman, this sinful woman, in at the feet of Jesus. And as she comes in, Simon looks, and what he sees is he sees a sinful woman. He sees somebody that he just should treat with the utmost disdain. This is not a person on whom he would have any compassion, because she's a sinner. She's vile and disgusting, and that's not the kind of person, certainly, that you would want to touch you, as Jesus was allowing this woman to do. This was someone, rather, that you would want to avoid. You wouldn't want to be anywhere near this sinful woman. That's not the kind of person that you would want to be around. That's what Simon saw. And so you can imagine, as he's almost looking down his nose at this poor person who has come and humbled themselves at the feet of Jesus. Mark your spot there in Luke chapter 7, but now I want you to turn to Luke chapter 18. Because in Luke chapter 18, I think we see a similar scene take place as Jesus, in this time, is speaking a parable, again to the Pharisees. And listen to what he says to them. In Luke chapter 18, begin reading with me, if you would, at verse 9. And think about the attitude that is being displayed here and the idea that pride causes us to look down on others. Verse 9 of Luke chapter 18. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Listen to this. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Did you see the same attitude in that Pharisee as he's praying, as Jesus is relating the parable to him? Here he is, and he's standing there praying thus with himself. I'm so thankful I'm not like other men. I'm not like the extortioners and the adulterers and all these terrible, hideous people. And I'm not even like this tax collector over here. I'm so thankful that I pay tithes and I do all these wonderful things. Can you imagine that type of attitude? As he looks with disdain at this tax collector who is beating his breast, his eyes fall into the ground, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Can you imagine Simon as he sits at the table, and there he is with the Son of God, and all he can think about is what a terrible woman that is, and surely this isn't a prophet. He wouldn't allow that woman to touch her. Touch him. Pride causes us to look down on others. Pride causes us, instead of seeing the thing we should, it causes us to look with disdain at others. I would like to suggest to you that what Simon didn't see, he didn't see a penitent heart. His pride did not allow him to see that that woman was one who was asking for forgiveness and seeking forgiveness and who had truly repented at the feet of Jesus Christ. And as we think about that, his preconceived ideas about that woman didn't allow him to see her repentance. The fact that he saw her as one who was sinful and didn't allow him to see one who was willing to change and who was trying to make a difference. He felt no desire to help her turn her life around. Instead, he looked down on her with complete disdain. He was too busy looking down his nose at her to see the prospect that was laid out right before him. You reckon we could ever do that? Could it possibly be that we've become so proud of ourselves and our relationship with God and the fact that we are His children, that here comes one who is sinful, who needs the Word of God more than we could ever imagine, one who is willing to change, one who is willing to repent, but we pass him by because we're kind of looking down on them? That's not the kind of person who would come to Jesus Christ. There are too many things that would have to happen in that person's life for them to ever be able to live the way God would want them to live. I just don't see that person as a prospect. So the nose goes up, and pride fills our heart, and we begin to look down on others, when instead we should be seeing hearts that need to change, and perhaps that are demonstrating change, and the fact that we may be the one who could step in and help. The first thing that I would suggest that pride does to us is pride causes us to look down on others. The second thing that I would suggest to you as we go back and we look at Simon the Pharisee that day as he sat with Jesus. His pride causes us, and this is also almost the exact opposite, but pride causes us to have a lack of humility. When we think about Simon, who could question the fact that Simon thought very highly of himself? I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, there is a warning about this, and I want you to think about this with me just briefly. But in Romans chapter 12, I want you to look at verse 3, as Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he warns us that we don't need to be people who think very highly of ourselves or more highly than we ought to. In Romans chapter 12, look at verse 3. Paul says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Can you imagine, though, as you begin to question Simon about himself and what kind of a person he is? "Well, Simon, what kind of a person are you?" "Well, I'll tell you what I am. I'm a strict follower of the law of God. I'll tell you what kind of person I am. I'm a Pharisee, and I am righteous, and I do the things that God would have me to do, and I'm concerned about truth, and I'm concerned about right, and I'm not like that lady." You can just be assured of that. I'm not anything like her. You know, it almost seems, as we look at Simon, that he almost has come to a point where he pictures himself as sinless. Think about that. Who was the sinner in this situation? It wasn't Simon. Far be it from Simon to ever declare that he was a sinner. It was that woman. It was the woman who is at the feet of Jesus crying and wiping her feet with her hair and anointing his feet with some kind of fragrant oil and kissing his feet and all these other things. That's the sinner. That's the one who needs his help, not me. I'm sitting here at the table with him. Simon would have pictured himself, I think, as pretty much Jesus' equal. They were sitting at the same table. I think Jesus points that out to some extent. "You gave me no water to wash my feet. You didn't kiss me. You didn't anoint my head with any kind of oil. You haven't done anything for me. And yet here this sinful woman has come in, and look at all that she has done. And yet you look at her with disdain." Simon was not one who was filled with humility. Simon lacked any humility whatsoever. As a matter of fact, if you were to talk to him, Simon would have been the first to tell you that he would have been a very strict follower of the law of God. He would have stood very proudly on that basis. And unfortunately, as a result of that, and as a result of his pride that produced his lack of humility, he never realized that he was no different from that sinful woman who had humbled herself at the feet of Jesus. No different whatsoever. And that's the point that Jesus is making to Simon as he gives him that little parable. Will you turn with me to James chapter 4? In James chapter 4, I want you to read verses 6 through 10. The idea is that as people who are striving to follow God and people who are not allowing pride to come into our hearts, we must realize that we must humble ourselves before God. In James chapter 4, as we begin reading in verse 6, we're going to read down through verse 10. Read with me if you would, as James says, "But he gives more grace, therefore he says," listen to this, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Turn over just a few pages to 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, I want you to read with me verses 5 through 7 as we see similar admonition, this time as Peter writes to us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, look with me if you would, beginning in verse 5. Peter says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." The thing that Simon failed to realize as he looked at this woman who was laying at the feet of Jesus, what he failed to realize was that his situation was no different from hers. Simon was a sinner just like she was a sinner. Simon had violated the law of God just like she had violated the law of God. The difference is in the way they perceived themselves. She knew it and he didn't. And the reason that he didn't is because his heart was filled with pride to a point where he was unwilling to humble himself before the very Son of God. As a matter of fact, as he sat there at that table that day, the thoughts were running through his mind, the story tells us, that he's thinking, this can't be a prophet. No prophet would allow a woman like this to touch him. Even as he's sitting there that day, he's thinking to himself, this probably isn't really the Son of God. He's a fascinating character, but this isn't the Son of God. The Son of God wouldn't relate to some sinful woman the way this man's relating. And Simon, because of the pride that had filled his heart, was unwilling to humble himself and demonstrate the fact that he was in the same position that she was in. He needed the same forgiveness that she needed. He needed to approach Jesus with the same attitude with which she needed to approach him, and yet he was not willing to do it. Now, the application comes down to us. Where do I stand? Do I maybe sometimes look at myself and almost picture myself in the same way that Simon did? To almost look at myself in a similar kind of situation where I see someone around me and the thing that I see is, well, now there's the sinner there. I'm not the sinner. I'm a faithful servant of God. I'm doing what I ought to be doing. To whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And as we look at our heritage and we look at our parents and our grandparents and maybe our great-grandparents, and maybe we can go back for generation after generation after generation and see Christians all the way up the line, and we begin to think of ourselves and get a little bit proud of all of that and think, I'm just not like the other people around here. We need to humble ourselves. We need to place ourselves at the feet of Jesus, weeping at His feet, begging for His forgiveness. That's the only thing we can do. And our attitude as we come before Him should be the same as the attitude of that sinful woman, and not like the proud attitude of Simon. The third thing that I would suggest to you is that pride does not allow us to appreciate what Christ has done to its full extent. We see here, as we've already said, a contrast in attitude. The sinful woman is on her knees. She's weeping at the feet of Jesus. She's kissing His feet. She's anointing His feet with a fragrant oil. She is obviously displaying tremendous humility, and she is also displaying recognition of the greatness of Jesus Christ. And then you go to the other extreme. There's Simon. He's sitting there. Jesus is his equal. He is looking with disdain at the woman. He is thinking that Jesus couldn't be a prophet. And he's thinking to himself, and he comes to a point that he's so proud that he fails to recognize the greatness of Jesus Christ. Pride will cause us to do that. And as we think about ourselves and we think about Simon as he sat there that day, there was no concept in Simon's mind that without Jesus Christ, he was doomed for hell. That thought never dawned on him. That woman knew that the only way she could be forgiven was through Jesus Christ. Simon hadn't figured that out. And so as we look at that contrast in attitude, and we look at what she did, and realizing Jesus, and realizing His nature, and realizing His greatness, and realizing the thing that He could offer to her, which He extended to her, may we realize that we must go to the same place. Simon, as that woman, had nothing to pay. Simon, as that woman, had nothing of which to boast. Simon, just as that woman, needed to be begging at the feet of Jesus for forgiveness. Because it is only at the feet of Jesus that forgiveness could be found. And so today, it works the same way. There is nowhere that we can go by which we can find salvation except to Jesus Christ. There is nothing that I can do of myself by which I can gain entrance into eternal life without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And just as we see them, or see her, bowed at the feet of Jesus, a heart that was humble. A heart that wasn't concerned about what others were going to think about her as she came before Jesus. A heart that was truly appreciative of what Jesus Christ could do for her. May we do the same. But unfortunately, I think it's easy for us to allow pride to be the thing that guides our heart, not the attitudes that we see in that woman. And what we must be very careful of is that as we live from day to day, We don't allow whatever may have happened over the course of our life to affect us to a point where we can't humble ourselves before God. And when we have made mistakes, we're willing to fall at His feet and say, "Forgive me." And when we see others around us, instead of our hearts being filled with contempt, they're filled with compassion, because we realize that they're people who need Jesus Christ. And may we never forget that without the sacrifice of Christ, we would have no hope, we would have no forgiveness, eternal life wouldn't even be a glimmer. We would have nothing to look forward to. And so we look and we see the dangers of pride. Pride can cause us to look down on others. It causes us to lack humility, and it causes us to fail to appreciate what Christ has done for us. There are dangers that we face, just as Simon was facing them. May we not make the mistake that he made. But rather, may we see the lesson that Jesus was teaching him, and may we be people who appreciate what's been done for us. If you need to come to Jesus Christ, if you need to be forgiven of your sins, you have the opportunity to do that this morning. If you'll repent of your sins and confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized for those sins to be washed away, you'll come up a new creature, a child of God, one who has humbled yourself before Him. What a tremendous opportunity that is. And may we look back at ourselves and re-examine ourselves and make sure that we are what God would have us to be, that we're focused on going to heaven, that we're focused on humbling ourselves before Him. And if we need to make changes in this, if we need to make sure that the pride is out of our hearts, let's do that. It may mean you need to come and talk to this group about it. If you need to do that, we hope you'll respond right now as we stand up and as we sing.